You have your Bible today. If you'll turn to the book of Acts chapter 3, the book of Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. While you're turning there, there's such a sweet presence of the Lord in this place. The title of this message is Reverence in His Divine Presence. Help me with my title today. Look at somebody and tell them that. Reverence in His Divine Presence. Yeah, God wants us to reverence His divine presence. There's a sweet, sweet presence of the Lord in this place. And here in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "Therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." You know, there's something about just being in God's sweet presence. His presence, when we get over in His presence, I tell you, His presence will refresh us, will renew us. Amen. That's one reason why it's so good to come to church, because we get in this atmosphere together corporately. And in this corporate atmosphere of His anointing, I tell you what, His presence can minister to us so profoundly. Amen. His presence will refresh us. You might have come in here tired today, but I tell you, we get in the presence of the Lord, He'll strengthen you. He'll renew you. I tell you, God will speak to you, give you direction, help you in every area. There's nothing like being in His presence. I said, there's no substitute for the presence of the Lord. Now, you can be going through something, but when you know that God Himself is with you, when you know that His very presence is with you, I tell you, you know that you can get through, you can run through a troop and leap over a wall when you know that He's with you like that. There's something so powerful about His presence. Look over in the Psalms with me, Psalm 16. Psalm 16, around about verse 11, the psalmist went to talking about the presence of the Lord. And Psalm 16, and I tell you, thank God for His presence. Amen? Where would we be without the presence of the Lord? Psalm 16, verse 11, I'm reading New American Standard. "In your presence is fullness of joy." I like that. "In your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore." I said something powerful happens when we get in God's presence. Look over at Psalm 30 with me. Psalm 30. Or 31. 31. Psalm 31, verse 20. Psalm 31, verse 20. The scripture says, "You hide them in the secret place of your presence from the conspiracies of men." There is a hiding place. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There is a hiding place in God. And that hiding place is smack dab in the middle of His presence. Yeah. And when God, you know, when His presence surrounds us, and when we get in the midst of His presence, He can do amazing things for us in His presence. Fact over there in Psalm 97, verse 5 says that the mountains melt like wax in the presence of the Lord. You got a mountain in your life, you got something standing in your way, get in God's presence. I said, amen. Do what God's telling you to do, and that mountain will melt like wax in His presence. I said, God is an awesome God, and His presence is amazing. You know, the good news, and we should say doctrinally, that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Thank God. Aren't you glad you serve a God who's everywhere? And not only that, we know this, that God is on the inside of us. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 17. Jesus said that the Spirit of truth would lead us and guide us and would be in us. And thank God we're living in that day today. How many glad the Holy Ghost resides down on the inside of you? We don't have to go on any Easter egg hunt this morning. I tell you, down in your belly, down in your spirit, man, the Holy Spirit resides on the inside of you. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9 says, "We're not our own. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit." God dwells right there on the inside of us. His presence is right on the inside of you. Amen. I said, amen. Over in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, I got you turning today already, right? Got a lot of, I should slip down. Acts 1 and verse 8, the Bible speaks of His presence coming upon us. The first scripture I quoted, John 14:7, speaks of His presence within us, Holy Spirit down in us. But how many know His presence will also come upon us? His presence is in us mainly to minister to us, but His presence will come upon us to minister to others. I said, we serve a mighty God. And I said, it's good to be in His presence. And I said, there's nowhere you can go, nowhere you can run away from his presence. In fact, over in Psalm 139 and verse 7, the psalmist wrote, where can I go from your spirit? Psalm 139, verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, and if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me. Your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. I said, there's something so awesome about God's holy presence. Amen. And when we get in that presence, God is able to do awesome things in our midst. And so we're talking about his presence today. His presence today. And you know, in the Old Testament, they equated God's presence, God's holy presence was associated and equated with his face. You're in Psalms. Look at Psalm 24. Psalm 24. The Old Testament has so much to say about the presence of God. And in the Old Testament, oftentimes God's presence was associated with his face. So that when the Old Testament saints would say they were going to enter into God's presence, they would say things like, we're going to seek your face. What were they talking about? We're seeking after your presence. His face and his presence were associated with. That's Psalm 24 I told you to go to. And verse 6. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Yeah, what were they talking about? This is the generation of those who seek your presence. There's something about the presence of the Lord. There's something, there is something so powerful about the presence. And the good news is, you know, it's one thing we come here corporately and experience his presence in an amazing way. But I tell you, right there in your apartment, you can experience the presence of God. I said, God can bless you right there at your house. And so Psalm 24, then look at Psalm 27. We're talking about the presence of the Lord, reverence in his divine presence, reverence. God wants us to have reverence in his divine presence. Where would we be without the presence of the Lord? I tell you, so many times in my life, going through circumstances or situations, I tell you, it's been his presence, his presence. I remember walking through the dark days of divorce. But I tell you, the presence of the Lord just kept, even especially, you know, in the middle of the night. And how many know it can be lonely in the middle of the night? If you've lost a spouse or been through a divorce like I have, it can get lonely in the middle of the night. But oh, but when the presence of the Lord comes upon you, he can rock you on to sleep. When the presence of the Lord come upon you, you find yourself saying, if God be for me, then who can be against me? And so you know, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Jesus said, I'm not alone. The Father is always with me. He said, I know my disciples are going to desert me, but even if they desert me, I still won't be alone because the Father himself is with me. I remember one of those days walking through divorce. I was feeling lonely. I was worshiping God. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, how can you be lonely if I'm with you? And I started thinking about that day. And I felt his presence come upon me. And the joy of the Lord became my strength. I cut a step all over my living room. I said, God is good. Where did I tell you to go last? Psalm 27, verse 8. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Look at verse 10. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Glory be to God. I said, God will never forsake us. He will never forsake us. And let me just say, you might be in a season where you say, well, you know, brother, I don't feel God's presence. That's all right. You got his word. I said, he's right there with you. You got something more sure than a feeling. You got his word. And if he said, I'm with you, then he's with you. If he said, I'll never leave you, then he'll never leave you or forsake you. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. So it really don't matter what you feel. I said, so there is the reality of his presence. Whether we can feel that or not really don't matter. He's there. I said, amen. He ain't going nowhere. Thank God. And so there's the reality of his presence, but then there is our awareness of his presence. And that's what we're speaking more about today, is our own awareness of the presence of the Lord. And I tell you, there are some ways to increase our awareness, our cognizance of his presence. One way we can be more cognizant of his presence is just to take time to worship him when we're at home or in the car, and those private moments, and lifting our hands to the Lord and blessing his holy name. I said, you might be going through adversity, you might be going through a challenge, but I dare you to get in your own private time and lift your hands to God and say, God, you're still good. You're still faithful. You're still true. God, I'm still going to follow you. I said, hey, his presence will surround you like a shield. Yes, he will. And so when we become more aware of his presence, I tell you, worshiping God will bring a greater awareness of his presence. Yeah. I tell you, meditating in the word, meditating over in scripture will bring a greater awareness of, I wish I had an amen in here. I said, you might be going, I dare you. I double dog dare you. Get your word out and begin to meditate in his word. Whatever problem, you meditate in his word. I'll tell you, you'll become more aware of his presence with you. I said, the Lord will never leave you. He will never forsake you. The psalmist said right there, when my father and mother forsake me, God will still take me up. Yeah. Over in Psalm 105 in verse 4. I tell you, he said, we're going to seek the face of the Lord. Psalm 105, verse 4. That's how they did it in the Old Testament. That's how they said it. That when they were talking about God's presence, they were talking about seeking his face, seeking his face. And that was equated to his presence. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually, it says. They were talking about what we're talking about today, being cognizant, being aware of the Lord's presence. He is with you everywhere you go. Somebody said, well, I got to get up and go to work tomorrow. I got to get up and face circumstance and situation tomorrow. You know, you're not going there alone. You get in your car, somebody's getting in the car with you. His name is the Lord. You open the door at your job, he's walking right in with you. I said, his name is the Lord. And so this awareness of his presence is so important. We know by faith. We know by faith. We have word on it that he's there. And that's enough to go to heaven in. But turn with me now to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20. And I want to go three examples of some people who were in the presence of the Lord, and they didn't know they were in the presence of the Lord. And it's one thing to be in God's presence. And it's another thing if we don't realize we're in his presence. Because you see, if we're really in the presence of the Lord, but we don't realize we're in his presence, we might start thinking negative thoughts. If we're in the presence of the Lord, but we're not aware we're in his presence, we might start yielding to the wrong thoughts. We might start thinking we're alone. We might start thinking foolish thoughts like we ain't going to make it. We might start thinking thoughts like we're going to be defeated. Oh, but when you become aware of the presence of the Lord, that God himself is with you, is in you, is upon you, is surrounding you. I said, then you realize there's nowhere you can go from his presence. Yeah. And so his presence. So we're here now in Gospel of John, chapter 20. And if you allow me, I'm going to read verse 11 to 18. We're in John chapter 20, verse 11 to 18. We're talking about the tangible presence of the Lord. All right, John 20, verse 11. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him. When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. Now listen to this. She turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Woman, whom are you seeking?" And supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Let me hold on right there. You know, Mary, she was right there. She was in the presence of the Lord Jesus and didn't know it was him. And the Bible says that, in fact, she thought she was talking to the gardener. So she went a little Jersey on him. You know what I mean by that? She said, "You tell me where you took him so I can go get the body. I'll go get the body." But three times we're told the extent of her weeping. She was weeping. And see, really, what when you really look at it, verse 9 gives us the problem, because 9 says, "For as yet they did not understand the scripture." So because they didn't understand the scripture, Jesus had risen from the dead. He'd been telling them the scriptures, going over scripture, promising he was going to rise from the dead after the third day. And then the day came and he rose from the dead and they forgot the scripture or whatever. But she was weeping so hard. Jesus was right there with her and she didn't even know it. Ain't that something? He's right there with her. He's right there in her presence and she didn't even know that. You know what that sound like? You and me. Can't get no amen. A preacher can't get no amen like that. You know, you've been there. I've been there when the Lord was right there with you and you thought you was all alone. You thought you was going down, looked like for your last time. You thought you was not going to make it. You were not cognizant. You know, doctrinally, yeah, he's there. But in relation to your human experience, you were not aware that he was there and you thought it was all over. Can I get one testimony? Yeah. And he was there the whole time. But you know, there was something there that blinded Mary from experiencing the reality of his tangible presence. You know what it was? It was the pain of her emotion. Because over and over again, three times in that passage from 11 to 18, it says she was crying. She was, even the angel asked her, "Why are you crying?" Jesus asked her about her tears. She was crying so hard. She was so emotionally distraught. You know, in life, we can go through things that sometimes you might find yourself crying. You might be in some type of emotional pain. And listen, he's touched with the feeling of our infirmity. But the thing about it is, what the Lord wants us to do is to respond in faith. And if we'll learn how to respond in faith to him, even when we're hurting, even when we're going through pain, even when we're experiencing challenges, if we will respond in faith to him, we'll be aware of even his tangible presence. I said, the Lord is in the room. The Lord is in the house. And during your darkest hour, God is right there with you. Your darkest day. The pain of her emotion, the pain of what she was going through. She was crying uncontrollably. She was talking. I'll give her a pass for talking to the angel. She was talking to the angel. She didn't know it was an angel. But angels sometimes appear like as men, and we've entertained angels unawares, the Bible says. So I'll give her a pass there, you know. But in her experience, she's just like us sometimes when we allow the pain of human emotion to cloud our awareness of his presence. And you may feel like, man, I've been going through a depression. I've been fighting depression and whatever you're fighting in your life. But let me tell you this, God is right there with you. He's your healer. He's your deliverer. He's your helper. And I tell you, when you become aware of his presence, then you'll rise up and you'll say, I can run like a troop and leap over a wall. When I know that the presence, see, David headed out that when David was faced with the enormous giant, he had to face a giant, but he became cognizant of the fact God himself is with me. And David started thinking, Romans chapter 8, if God be for me, then who can be against me? David started saying, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And he marched out there right toward him. But he knew the presence of the Lord was with him. And whatever you have to face today, whatever you've got to face Monday morning, the presence of the Lord is right there with you. Don't be blinded by the pain of emotion. Come back to the Word. It was her tears that blinded her from recognizing the very presence of the Lord. Let's look a little further down. I told you I had three examples of this. Another, just in the same chapter now, we're going to start at verse 24, but from 19 to 24 is where the disciples are huddled up in a room. They're afraid. They don't know that Jesus has risen from the dead. They can't find his body. They've heard stories that he's alive, but they're not sure. And they think the Jews are going to come and get them, the religious leaders. And they are huddled up behind locked doors and they're afraid. And Jesus walked right through the wall, right through the locked door and appeared to them. Yes, he did. Walked right through the door and appeared to them, except that one of them wasn't there. And the Bible said that Thomas wasn't there. And so when Thomas showed up, they said, "Oh, Thomas, you ain't gonna believe what happened today. Woo, we was huddled up, afraid behind closed doors, and Jesus walked right through the wall. He's alive. He's risen from the dead. We saw his glory." They said he ate a piece of broiled fish right there in front of us. It wasn't a spirit. It was him. His tangible presence was in the room. They said, "Woo, Thomas, boy, the glory." They said we had the glory bumps all down, blah, blah, back the neck, glory. And you know what Thomas said? Thomas said, "I don't care what y'all have to say. Unless I see him, I ain't going to believe it." Listen, now, Thomas, you know we wouldn't lie. We've been running together on the same ministry team 3.5 years. You know we wouldn't lie. We wouldn't lie about it. I don't care what y'all guys did. Unless I can see it, unless I can touch his wounds, see his wounds, put my hand in his wounds, I ain't believing nothing. Don't care what y'all say. How many of y'all got faith like that? Thank you. I didn't get no hands on that. You know, Didymus means twin. We don't need any Thomas twins. We don't need anybody, you know, representing that kind of faith. Thomas said, "I ain't gonna believe it. I don't care what you say. I don't care how long we walk with him. I don't care what we say." "Well, Thomas, you saw him walk on. I don't care what I saw. You saw him feed more than 10,000 people. I don't care what I saw. Thomas, you know you done been to Rhema. You done graduated 6 years at Rhema. I don't care what I got. I don't care what I graduated. I ain't believe nothing." "I ain't believe nothing. Don't care what y'all say. Till I see him. I touch him." Oh yeah, he was talking big and bad. And then the Bible says 8 days passed. 8 days passed. And I think that's kind of significant, that 8 whole days passed. Because typically when people refuse to believe, refuse to use their faith, refuse to trust the word, refuse to believe what God has said, you're going to do a lot of waiting and circling. For Israel, 40 years passed. Israel adopted that Thomas strategy, and it took them 40 years to get where they was going. Yeah, and then Jesus came back 8 days later. So he saw what everybody else had seen and experienced, he saw way after everybody else. Took 8 days. Because his faith was all jacked up. He's talking all that smack and refusing to believe. And so then, so that's where we pick up verse 24. So verse 24, "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, 'We've seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands, the imprint of his nails, put my finger into the place of his nails, put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came, and the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, 'Peace be with you.' And then he said to Thomas, 'Reach here with your finger and see my hands. Reach here with your hand, put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.'" He affirmed the deity of Christ. At the same time, he affirmed the lordship of Christ. And you notice the Lord was specific with Thomas. You know why? Because he was present 8 days prior when Thomas was saying, "I'm not going to believe." He was already present. He already knew everything going on 8 days prior. I said, "The Lord was at your apartment 8 days ago. He heard what you said 8 days ago." And the Lord has been with you last month. The Lord has been with you the last 6 months. The Lord has been blessing you the year before that. He was with you the year before that. For some of you, he was with you the decade before that and the decade before that. I said, God's been carrying you. He's been faithful to you a mighty long time. I wish I had one amen in here. I wish I had somebody who's not afraid to tell it. God is faithful. God's been faithful to you. I said, in the middle of your night season, God has been there for you. Again and again and again, you were going through hard times. You were struggling, but God was there to lift you up. He was there to dry your tears. He was there to build you up. He was there to help you again and again and again. You went down on a bended knee, crying out to the Lord, but the Lord got down there and lifted you up. Hey, he gave you favor. He gave you strength. He gave you direction. He turned you around, put you back out there again. I said, you went through a setback, but then God made you come back after the setback. I said, he's a mighty good God. And he's there. His presence is there. And when we reverence his divine presence, we become more cognizant of the fact that God is with us every single moment of every single day. Yeah. And you see what he ended off, what he told Thomas at the end? He said, because you have seen me, you have believed. And blessed are they who do not see me and yet they believe. Yeah. That's what you really want to impress him? Then believe before you see. That's how faith works. God's not going to be impressed when we demand him to see. I want to see. I'm going to touch it. I'm going to touch it. Nails. I'm touching cars. That didn't impress Jesus. He's more impressed when a man or a woman will say, I don't have to see it to believe it. I know by your word. I know in my heart. I stand on the word. I know you're with me. Whether I feel it or whether I don't feel it. If I get up tomorrow and don't feel it, I still know you're with me. You said you'd never leave me. You said you'd never forsake me. I don't have to have a feeling. I got the word. But there is his tangible presence. And what blinded Thomas? His unbelief. Man. Thomas was blinded from recognizing the presence of the Lord Jesus because of his unbelief. Mary was blinded from recognizing the presence of the Lord Jesus because of the pain of her human emotion. One more. Go with me to Luke 24. Luke 24. Unbelief blinded Thomas. Yeah. Unbelief blinded him. He wasn't aware of the presence of the Lord. If 8 days prior Thomas had been in faith and saying, wow, the Lord has risen from the dead, let's worship him, I have no doubt Thomas would have experienced, he would have experienced that tangible presence of the Lord. They would have wound up saying, man, the presence of the Lord is in this place, is in this room, he's here right now. In a few moments you'll get up from this place and when you go to your car or however you got here, the Lord will be there. Luke 24, this is the last one. Luke 24, this is the last one. And let's see here. It's the disciples on the Emmaus Road. And I'm going to start at verse 25. Verse 25. Luke 24, 25. And he said to them, O foolish men, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory? Okay, you no doubt know what happened prior to verse 25. The Bible says that the disciples were getting somewhat discouraged. And the Bible identifies two brothers who were disciples of the Lord. And they were discouraged about the resurrection. And they got up and they started going to a town called Emmaus. It was a 7-mile walk. They were discouraged. They were thinking that the resurrection of Christ hadn't happened. They were confused. They weren't in faith about it. And they were disillusioned that the Lord was not there. They weren't sure of what the future was going to hold. And they were walking 7 miles to Emmaus. The Bible gives us the name of one of these brothers in the preceding verses, Cleopas. Cleopas is the name of one of the brothers. The Bible doesn't give us the name of the second brother. They're walking 7 miles to Emmaus. All of a sudden, someone comes and joins them. It's the Lord Jesus. But the Bible says they are prevented from seeing him. They don't know it's Jesus. He's walking with them, walking right beside them. He's right there with them. And they don't know it's Jesus. My brother and sister, there have been times in all of our lives when the Lord's been walking with us, walking right beside us. We didn't even realize it was Jesus. I said, your best friend, you were going through something. Your best friend called you, read you a powerful verse of scripture. And it was Jesus reading the verse through your best friend's voice. And you didn't even know it was you. You just thought it was your best friend. I said, there have been times when your mama called you and encouraged you and lifted you up or said something to you. And really, it was the Lord through your mama doing that. You didn't know it was Jesus. There have been times when you picked up the word and it seemed like, man, that scripture just come right off the page. Seemed like it just come right off the page. God was doing something in you and for you, and you didn't know it was the Lord. And so they're walking with Jesus. They don't know that it's Jesus. And so he starts asking them what's happened in recent days. They talk to him about Christ. And that's where he says, verse 25, he said to them, "O foolish men, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Luke 24, 27 now. "Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them concerning the things concerning himself in all the scriptures." Now, let me tell you, that must have been awesome. Do you see what we just read there in verse 27? It says that Jesus, beginning with Moses, what does it mean? The Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Jesus broke down the first five books of the Bible and explained all of the messianic scriptures that applied to himself. He was going from scripture to scripture to scripture saying, "That's me, that's me, that's me, that's me." Turn to Deuteronomy. "That's me, that's me." Turn to Leviticus. "That's me, that's me." He did that. It says he did that with Moses, the first five books of the Bible, and with all of the prophets, minor and major prophets, and he explained to them the things concerning himself and all. Jesus broke the word down for them. I said, that must have been an awesome conversation. The Lord was breaking down the word, breaking down messianic scriptures, showing how he was the fulfillment of them. I can just see him say, "Turn to Psalm 22. I bet he broke the word down to them while they were walking to Emmaus. And he revealed himself in the light of the scripture. Verse 28. "And they, as they approached the village where they were going, he acted as though he were going further. But they urged him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it's getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went to stay with them. And when he reclined at the table with them, he took bread and blessed it. Breaking it, he began giving it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight." And they said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" And they got up right that moment. Although they had walked that 7 miles, they turned around and went back to Jerusalem and said, "The Lord is risen. We saw him on the road to Emmaus." While they were on the road, Jesus was explaining one scripture after another after another. They could not see him because they had not located him in scripture. They forgot their scriptures. In other words, Jesus had revealed scriptures to them over and over again before he was ever crucified. And they forgot those scriptures. When you read earlier in chapter 24, I won't go there, I'll give you scripture reference, verse 6. They said, "Remember how he spoke." Verse 8, they remembered his words. So there were times in Luke 24, verse 6 and verse 8, they had to go back and remember what the Lord said about the resurrection. Remember what he said about him suffering. Remember the word. And see, here, they had forgotten the word. And because they had forgotten the word, they were kept from recognizing the tangible presence of the Lord. For Mary, it was the pain of her emotions, what she was going through at the moment. What are you saying, Brother Bill? I'm saying, is there something today that's keeping you from recognizing the tangible presence of the Lord? Because I can tell you this, he's with you. I can tell you this, he's with you right now. Every place you go, every place you hurt, everything you have to do, every challenge you face, the Lord himself is with you. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, he said, at my first trial, I couldn't find one believer to stand with me. And then he said this, may the Lord not hold it against him though. 2 Timothy 4, 16. He said, Lord, don't hold it against him. And then he said this, he said, but the Lord stood by me. The Lord himself stood by me. At his trial, he couldn't get one person to stand up with him. But the Lord elbow said, I'm right here with you. And I got your back. He said, the Lord stood with me and the Lord strengthened me. He said, the Lord gave me the victory, and he will safely deliver me from every circumstance. He will safely deliver me from every trial. He will safely deliver me from everything I go through. God is with me. God's not forsaken me, and God's going to lead me through to the victory. What is it that blinds you from experiencing the tangible presence of the Lord? We know doctrinally he's there. He's not going anywhere. But oh, my friend, whether you can feel it or not, you need to begin each day saying, thank you, Lord. I know you're with me. You never leave me. You never forsake me. Oh, in the middle of the night, Hebrews 13:5 says, he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. My friend, God is with you today, and he wants you to trust him in the midst of whatever you're facing, in the midst of whatever you're going through. You remember these three things. No matter what you're going through, God has a rhema word for you. You're going through something, put your face in the book. And I say, if you'll meditate in the word long enough, there'll be a rhema word arise from the pages of scripture that covers your condition. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. You may be going through something right now. You get your face in the book. You meditate. A rhema word will come straight out of scripture for you. So no matter what you're going through, God has a rhema word for you. Secondly, no matter what you're going through, God will never leave you or forsake you. And thirdly, no matter what you're going through, God will see you through to the victory. He will see you through to the victory. Let me just say in conclusion this morning, you know, there's a lot of places you can run, but you can't run from the presence of the Lord. Jonah tried that. Over in Jonah chapter 1, those first three verses, the Lord told Jonah to get up and to go and cry out to the Ninevites because God wanted Jonah to preach to them because he wanted the Ninevites to have a chance to repent. And Jonah hated the Ninevites. He didn't want them to repent. And he got up and he went 180 degrees from the direction God told him to go. And of course, then the storm arose and the storm kept on raging until they threw him overboard. And God sent the big fish on an assignment to swallow him up. You say, what's your point? You can't run from God's presence. You might not be living right today. You might not be living the way he wants you to. You might not be doing what Christ wants you to do, but you can never run from his presence. Take the wings of the morning. Christ will be there. The psalmist said, we read earlier, make your bed in Sheol. The Lord will be there. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, it says this. Just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. If today you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. God speaks to you, and I know for many here, God's been talking to you during the course of our conversation together, but don't harden your heart. Over in Luke 24:44, it says this, now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. All things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. He went on to say that, 47, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins must happen and be proclaimed in my name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. So repentance and forgiveness of sins is God's way of extending to us his kind offer of forgiveness. Let me say this as a final thought, my friend. This morning, if you are in some way out of fellowship with God, I know that God's moving on you. I know that God's compelling you to make that right. How do we do that? We do that through repentance. He's a loving God. The Bible says his kindness leads us to repentance. And I just ask you to examine your heart. Is everything right between you and God? Or if while I'm talking, he's been talking to you, something's been tugging at you. It's not something, it's someone. And he's God the Holy Spirit. And if you're here today and you know you're not living right, or you're here today, you've never received Jesus as your Savior, today is your day. If today you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Listen to me, very importantly. I'm in the last moments of what I'm going to say to you. But the Bible describes a place called hell, a literal place called hell. And God doesn't want anybody to go there. He sent Jesus to give his, Jesus gave his life so that no human being would have to go there. I said hell, a literal, Jesus spoke of hell as a literal place. And when he spoke of hell, Jesus said there's a weeping there. There's a gnashing of teeth. Matthew 8:12, Matthew 8:25 and 30, Matthew 13:42. Jesus said, hell is a place of outer darkness. Hell is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell is a place of everlasting punishment. This place called hell, people will go there, but not because God wants them to. God has extended his offer of forgiveness. All of his offer of forgiveness is wrapped up in the person of Christ. And that's why the Father allowed him to be crucified in the first place. His beating, his torture, his crucifixion was a substitute for you and I. We deserve that. Our sin separated you and I from God. We deserve that. And God allowed him to take that penalty for your sins and for mine. And if you're listening today, or if you're here in this live audience listening, and you've accepted Christ, but you know you're not living right, today you hear his voice. And the Bible says, don't harden your heart. Make this thing right with God. If you're here today, and you know that maybe, as I say, maybe you've accepted Christ, maybe you've never accepted Christ. But whether you have or you haven't, today is your day. Let me tell you, there is a literal place called hell. There is a literal place called heaven. And hell is a place to shun, and heaven is a place to embrace. Heaven is a place to gain. Sometimes people, you know, foolishly say, well, you know, when I die, I'm going to go down there and party in hell. You ain't partying in hell. Hell is a place of punishment. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of darkness. Hell is a place of weeping. Hell is a place of eternal gnashing with teeth. And one day you will die. Should Jesus not tarry his return, one day you and I will die. And you are going to spend eternity someplace. And you're not going to get to decide after you die. And God doesn't want anybody going there. He doesn't want, and there will be people who go. There will be people who go. There have been so many accounts of people who have died and who have gone to hell. I was watching one testimony on YouTube where this lady in Peru, she was standing at the bus, at the door of the bus waiting to get off at her stop, and the bus driver didn't see her, and he made a violent left turn, and she was standing down in the wheel well where the doors open, and when the bus turned, the centrifugal force threw her out of the doors right into an oncoming car. And that car struck her right in the head. And the people on the bus saw her die instantly. And she had been dead hours. She was in the morgue. She was covered up with a sheet in the morgue. And the lady said she was Catholic. She was from a Catholic background. I could identify. I'm from a Catholic background. And she said there was a morgue attendant was making notations and things like that. And she said she just rose right up. But she said what happened that preceded her rising up like that was that she said she, after she was hit by the car, she fell out of the bus, was hit by the car. She said, I started going down. She said, it was dark. The further I went down, the darker it got. She said, it got so dark, it got so black. She said, I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. And she said, I ascended down, 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 down. And she said, I landed at this place and I didn't know where I was, but I could hear evil laughing, and I could see, since people were pointing at me and these demons were pointing at me. And she said, one came over and grabbed me and started pulling me. And she said, I was trying to resist and he was pulling me. And she said, then I became aware there was a flame and this demon was pulling me toward the flame. And she said, I started crying out, oh, Lord, please, Lord, please. I've been religious. I've gone to church. I've said my rosary. And she said, the demon just kept on pulling her. And she said, Lord, please, if you just give me another chance, if you just give me another chance, if you just, yeah, please, please, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. She said, when I spoke the name of Jesus, the demon stopped. She said, Jesus, 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 save me. Give me another chance. Give me another chance. Please save me. Save me by the blood. Save me. And she said, the demon had to let me go. And she said, I started rising. I started rising. I started rising. And she said she had a conversation with Jesus where he told her to repent of her sins. He He said, being religious was not what could get you to heaven. It was only his blood. It was only confessing him as the Savior and Lord. It was only acknowledging that he was the Son of God, that he had risen from the dead, that he had paid the price for that person's sins. I'm asking you, where do you stand today? If you die today, what's going to happen to you? You can sit here and act like you're saved and you know you're not. Act like you're living right and you know you're not if you want to. You may be fooling, but you ain't fooling God. He's trying to help you. There's one name given among men whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus. There's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's no other name. And so this morning, with every head bowed, you're here and you've never received Jesus. You've never given your life to Christ. You don't know what would happen to you if you were to die tonight. Ushers, help me. Everybody else, your head's bowed, your eyes are closed. Usher, stand up and help me. You're here, you don't know what would happen if you died tonight. This is your moment. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Let me see your hand, I wanna pray for you. You don't know, you say, I'm unsure. I don't know what would happen to me. If I died tonight, I'm unsure. Let me see your hand, raise your hand. Your hand should be in the air. I'm unsure. You're here and you know you're not living right. You know you're not living right. You know you've received Christ before. But you know right now you're not right. Let me see your hand. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I see your hand. Lift your hand. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. You need to get this right before you leave here. I see your hand. You need to get it right with God. You know God's moving on you. God's talking to you. It's not some preacher. It's not some man. You're dealing with God Almighty. And he's tugging at the door of your heart. Let me see your hand. Say, preacher, I know it. I know it. I know it. I know it. Listen, here's what I want you to do. I'm just going to count to three. When I get to three, I want you just to stand up on your feet. I want you just to boldly stand up on your feet. You need to be born again. Or you already are born again, but you know you're not living right. You've lifted your hand, or you should have lifted your hand. One, I want you to get every thought of anybody else out of your mind. Two, I want you to forget about everything else going on in your life or who's sitting next to you. Three, I just want you to stand up on your feet. Just stand right up. That's right. Just stand right up. Just stand right up. That's right. That's right. Obey God. You're obeying God. Just stand right up. Just stand right up on your feet. Just stand. That's right. That's right. That's right. Just stand on up. Stand on up. Obey him. Just stand up. Yeah. Now I want you to make your way down here. I'm going to do what I said. I'm going to pray for you. Just come right on down here. Just come right on down here. We love you. We're not judging you. We love you. Just come right on down here. Let God help you. Let God help you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, let him help you. Come on, God's gonna help you. God's gonna touch you. Come on, let him help you. He's gonna touch you. He's gonna help you. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, saints, you're praying. Saints, you're praying. Come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God wants to help you today. God's gonna deliver you. God's gonna help you. Hallelujah. But you're gonna have to obey him. You're gonna have to obey them. He's tugging at your heart. You know that's the Holy Spirit. You know that's the Holy Spirit. Oh, but if you'll let him, he's going to help you. He's going to help you. He's going to help you today. Yeah. If you'll listen, if he can get you to cooperate, he's going to help you today. Praise God. Praise God. He's going to help you today. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Praise God. Thanks for bringing him. He's going to help you today. He's going to help you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, we're waiting for people from the balcony. While we're waiting on them, you come on. There's still people sitting here. You're looking at them and you know something's going on in you. That's the Lord telling you to get down here. Oh, the Bible says if we'll humble ourselves, if we'll humble ourselves, oh, and get rid of that pride. Oh, come on down here. We love you. You know God's dealing with you. He knows he's dealing with you. And he's just waiting on you, praise God. He's just waiting on you, praise God. Come on and let him help you. Come on and let him help you. God loves you. The Bible says it's his kindness. His kindness leads us to repentance. Let him help you today. Oh, the Lord wants to help his people. He wants to help his people. God bless you. He wants to help his people today. Praise God. He's such a good God. He's such a good God. He's a loving Heavenly Father. Praise God. He's a loving Heavenly Father. I tell you, God loves you so much. There's nothing the Lord wouldn't do for you. If you just get up out of your seat, obey God. Just listen to him. You just listen to him. Oh man, God's gonna help you. God is gonna help you. He's gonna help you. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. We know that's a long walk, but God's going to make it worth your time. He's going to make it worth your time. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Anybody else want to come? The altar is open. The altar is open. Jesus is moving by his Spirit, and he'll help you if you'll let him. Oh, man, there's somebody else in here. If you just come on down here. You just come on down here. I could just tell there's somebody else in here. There's somebody else in here. When are you going to obey God? How long are you going to do that? The enemy's trying to deceive you. He wants you just to get up and go out that door, just like business as usual. And you don't know what might happen. But if you'll come down here and let God help you, let him help you. Let him help you. Praise God. Let him help you. Oh, God's going to help you today. I said, God's going to help you today. I said, the Lord's going to help you today. I said, the Lord's going to help you today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on, let's give it up for them. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 The altar is still open. I just want you to lift one hand to the Lord, because you're not coming to a man. I'm just a man, but you're coming. You're not coming to me. You're coming to the Lord is what I mean. You're not coming to a man. You're coming to the Lord. So just lift one hand to him, because you're saying, that's where my help's coming from. I'm coming to you, Lord. I'm going to say this prayer. I just want you to say it out loud after me. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. He paid the penalty for my sins. And I repent. I claim the blood of Jesus. I know he's the Son of God. I know he was raised from the dead. All for me. And the remission of my sins. And so, Father, you said, if I would ask you to come in, if I would repent, that you would come in, that you would forgive me and make me the kind of person you want me to be. And from this day forward, I'm going to live life according to the Lordship of Christ and be the person you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Father, thank you for blessing each and every one of them. Thank you for ministering to each and every one of them today. This is Reverend Greg Finley, and he's in charge of our prayer room today. I want you to go with Greg. He's going to give you some free materials. Make sure you have any question answered that you have. If you'll go with Reverend Greg right now, just go with him. They're not going to keep you long. They're just going to make sure you have all of your needs met. Hallelujah. Come on now. Some of y'all cheered louder yesterday for OSU and OU. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for them right now. Extend your hands toward them. In the name of Jesus, we just pray for them right now. We thank you, Father God, for ministering to every single one of them by the power of your Holy Spirit. May your Spirit fall in that prayer room. Father, may they be healed, touched, delivered, saved. May they mark this day as a day that they'll never forget in the entirety of their lives, Father. Everything they came for today, Father, may they receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Have your seat, my brother and sister. God is a good God. Come on, let's bless him one more time. People being restored and saved in the house of God. The Bible says there's joy in heaven when one person repents. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.